surgery very soon after his birth. Hold them all tenderly in this time. For Corey's dad, who is having surgery on February 1st, may everything go as well as is expected. For Laura's friend Tyree, who has a hearing in February, give him patience and strength and peace. God, we pray for an aunt and an uncle, an aunt who is newly living in an assisted living facility after a new diagnosis, and for her husband, who is now living alone. We pray for them in the midst of this adjustment that comes in their 60th year of marriage. God, bless them on this journey. We pray for a family holding dearly a baby who is struggling to survive. And we pray for Tammy, who's starting radiation, as well as a friend who is struggling with a next step, and Gail, who is waiting for a doctor to read her pathology report so that she can know some answers. God, we pray for many around us who are grieving, especially for the many who loved Barb Parlett, for Donna's sister-in-law whose daughter died suddenly, for Rick, whose sister died, and for his niece who lost her mom and who now is caring for her husband who is also very ill, and for Betsy, whose husband died. Be close to these ones who hurt so much, as close as their breath, God. Breathe your breath of life and of peace, Lord, into the violence and injustice of this world, into all the places where greed and vengeance and hard-heartedness kill the fullness and the abundance that you hope for us. We pray for those in Gaza and in Israel. We long for a ceasefire. For those in Ukraine and in Russia, and for the many other places where violence and terror exist, but does not keep our constant headline attention. Blow on the fires in our bellies that ignite our work for justice and peace around us. God, we are so grateful for this breath. For the rhythm of this body, the pulse that runs through us, for the ways we can share and depend on each other. We celebrate with Matt that his friend's daughter is healing so well after surgery. Keep us tuned to your closeness in all of our lives, to the wonder of our bodies, the awe of being alive and breathing in and out, in and out. Amen.
cannibals. That's those of you that were taking bets on what the first word of the sermon would be, you probably just lost, right? Cannibals. That's what they used to call us. Us Christians, I mean. The early church was accused of cannibalism. And I can see it, honestly. The central ritual for the early Christians was cannibalism, in a sense. Communion, the bread and the cup, the body of Christ broken for us, the blood of Christ shed for us. Outsiders used to hear these strange tales and wondered in horror. Even in the Gospel of John, Jesus' hearers are confused and a little put out, saying, "How can this man give us his body to eat?" And while we may not actually be cannibals, there is this idea that in communion, we are receiving the body of Christ, taking it in, being transformed by it, even. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Twice a day, faithful Jews pray this prayer, as Cindy said. Hear, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This, Jesus pronounced, is the first and greatest commandment. This sparked in us an idea for this new sermon series, reflecting on what it means to love God with our heart, our soul, and our might, with all our being, body, mind, and spirit. We begin this week at the end with all our might, loving God with these physical bodies of ours, which isn't something we often think about. The ancient Greeks had this idea, at least as far back as Plato, of the body as a prison, a cage for our true selves, our immortal souls. There was this idea that the material world was less real and more corrupt. Our physical bodies were something to be overcome, not embraced. The idea ingrained itself so deeply in Western thought, embedded itself even in the church in the centuries after Jesus. But this Greek ideal was and is at odds with the Hebrew vision we find in Genesis and beyond. Here, in these creation stories, the Hebrews have a God who creates the physical world and calls it good. And then in chapter 2 that Cece read for us, we get this beautiful image of God tenderly shaping the physical human body out of the earth, carefully forming it and then breathing life into its body. For the Hebrews, we are embodied beings, only fully alive in these bodies that are a gift. In the Old Testament, the spirit, apart from the body, is little more than a shade, a non-existence. Even in the New Testament, the vision for life eternal is resurrection. Not disembodied spirits set free, but our bodies made whole, the world made new. We are embodied creatures to the very end and beyond. So what does our faith look like if we embrace this connection to our physical selves, to the earth from which we were formed? Some of the monks of the Middle Ages used to beat themselves, seeing their bodies as something to be overcome in order to achieve purity of spirit. But when we stop othering our physical selves, maybe that opens the doorway to healing. Our bodies aren't perfect. Tom joked yesterday at the men's breakfast about our organ recitals as we age. each of us reciting which organs aren't working quite right. Our bodies aren't perfect, but they're ours. None of us live into Madison Avenue's vision of what a perfect body should be like. But what if we just owned it, embraced the bodies we have as a gift, our own bodies with the breath of God breathed into them? This is the hand I was dealt, the body I was given. What am I going to do with it? There's wisdom in the body. I remember my mentor, Bill, always inviting me to slow down, to reconnect my thinking self with my feeling self. Because our bodies can be incredibly attuned to the people around us, understanding the feelings in the room if we only take the time to listen. Listening to our bodies can teach us about ourselves, too. And an embodied faith is much more active and physical. The good news of Jesus loving God is not just words. It becomes real and physical and tangible. An embodied faith is like the fellas from the men's breakfast who went out to visit one of our own at a nursing home yesterday, who hasn't been able to get around for years now. An embodied faith is the place to stay in the cold that our deacons provided a homeless person with this week. Or the spare coat and snacks that a deacon gave her when they picked her up at the hospital. There's kind of a relief in this idea of faith. It becomes tangible, something we can hold on to, this kind of loving God with all our strength, with all our bodies. So we aren't really cannibals. You've probably figured that out. But you know, there is a sense in which we are really eating Jesus, cannibals as it were. Andy Murray reflected in our Bible study once that all the stuff from which we were made, the atoms from which we were formed, it all came from stars long since gone. We are stardust, as Jan Richardson says, all the earth. And to the earth, our bodies will return someday, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We come from the stuff of stars, and we will be part of what comes after. Those atoms, the physical pieces of us remain. Part of us remains part of this good earth, the cycle of life. We breathe perhaps the very same air that Jesus breathed and take in that which Jesus touched. Christ's real human body, perfect and flawed, was broken for us. And so we take the bread and the cup in remembrance of him. Cindy's poet laureate, Mary Oliver, writes, "You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves, whoever you are. No matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things." Amen. Thank you.
Family of faith, you are the body of Christ, and all of you are welcome at this table. You do not have to be a member of Stone Church or the Church of the Brethren to share in communion. You only need curiosity and a desire for connection with those around you and the God who holds and invites us all to come. Come to the table of peace. We are going to serve communion differently than we typically have in this community. You are invited to engage your full body in this act by coming forward. You will receive a small piece of bread, which you will then dip into the juice gently, delicately. It doesn't require your entire hand down in there. And then eat it. See if you can engage your senses in the entire process. Notice the texture, the taste, the feel. If you are in need of a gluten-free option, or if you are wanting to be a bit more cautious about germs, then you will want to use the bread and the juice that Darlene and Pastor Ben will be serving on this side of the sanctuary. Gluten-free and a little less germy over here. Marty and Patty will serve the choir and then move down to the floor in case there are others in line waiting to be served. And Barb and I will serve from the front here. As much as is possible, it will help flow for you to come forward using the center aisle and return to your seat using the outer aisles. If you are unable to walk forward, please catch one of our eyes. Give us a wave. We are happy to bring communion to you. As those who will be serving communion come forward, I invite you to remember with me the words Jesus spoke to his disciples and friends on the night that he was betrayed. You guys may move forward. That night, all of the disciples and friends had gathered to share in a meal together. And Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body. Take and eat." In a similar manner, he took the cup and, having blessed it, gave it to them, telling them to drink, saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for many." Let us pray. Come to us, bread of life. Nourish us in all the places where our body hurts. Enrich us in the places where we need growth. Enliven us where we need energy. Become part of us, and let us be part of you. Live in us, in our very bodies, in this body. Now and forever. Amen.
May we go forth from this place in love for the Lord our God, in whose image we were made. Loving God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our might, and our neighbors as ourselves. Amen.
Organ, right?